Well, next in the studio, I'm delighted again to welcome Sally O'Reilly. And as you are familiar at this stage, Sally is a psychotherapist and psychologist and brings an awful lot of wisdom and understanding to our everyday activities here in the studio. So thanks, Sally, for volunteering your expertise so freely and willingly. And today we were speaking earlier and Sally suggested we should discuss why you should never say, "If I were you."
Right.
Yes.
So just to put that in context.
Okay.
The reason that I was thinking about this is because I normally don't go on Twitter first thing in the morning. It's a bad idea, actually. I should take my own advice and not do that.
Okay.
But I did do that the other day and I saw this thread about this discussion about a woman who found herself in an abusive situation mm-hmm. with her partner. And the amount of people that were commenting and replying and tweeting, and it went off in all different threads, as things tend to do on Twitter, saying, "Well, if I were you now, I'd leave him or I'd report him. I'd do this and I'd do that. And, you know, you sound like an intelligent woman. Why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that?" And so it was the "if I were you" thing, really. I just thought, God, that's... I have no doubt that this wasn't intended as judgment, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that's exactly how it would land on many people, men right. and women. And so I thought it would be worth having a brief conversation about that, because I think we are very tempted to try and relate to people. And in doing that, we often say things like, "Oh, if I were in your position now, I would," whatever. But when it comes to, and that's often very helpful, actually, and it often shows, you know, empathy and that you understand someone's position. But in a situation where someone is being abused or is basically already being told what to do, then the last thing they need is someone else coming along telling them what to do.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Good.
But I'm totally guilty of saying to people, "If I were you," and I guess I never really thought of it until you mentioned it now. And I would have imagined I would have been helpful or trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
But in fact, now you're saying it probably is not necessarily very helpful at all.
Not necessarily. It might land, the risk with saying this with someone to someone who's in a situation that's clearly abusive or even hints at being abusive is it's an invisible risk because you can't see it in the person, especially on Twitter, obviously, but even face to face. People who are in a relationship that's abusive, be it a sibling or a friend or a partner, they already feel a great degree of shame and fear. So they are well practiced at hiding their reactions. So you might not see in their face that they feel injured by what you said.
Okay.
And they might just, you know, nod and say thanks because they're used to keeping people happy because that's how they stay safe. But I would always encourage people to say, to try and avoid the "if I were you" thing, because you're not them.
True.
Well, what would I say is a very good question. And I think the answer is going to be very difficult to do, to put into action, because what I'm suggesting you say is nothing. That you just listen. And if you insist on saying something, then it would be something like, "You know, I am sorry to hear that you're in such a difficult situation. And whatever you decide to do, I've got your back."
Very
and that
nice.
Way, you know, you're letting the person know that you're not going to judge their decision to stay if that's what they choose to do. Because people who are in abusive situations, psychologically or physically, with whoever they're in that relationship with, they do choose to stay for sometimes years, and they're already beating themselves up about that decision. So if someone confides in you, it took them maybe months to make that decision. So it's precious. Do you know what I mean? So I would say, you know, try to not say anything other than something very neutral and supportive, and not "if I were you" it, because that's being, again, it's just load. You're just another person now in their life who's making a judgment on them and telling them what to do.
Okay. So you would suggest listening and kind of maybe feeding back to them what it is they say to you. Like, in other words, you're kind of indicating that you're listening to them and then being supportive.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, check out how they are and what they want to do. What have they considered doing? But adding, if anything, you know, what would you like to do about this, if anything?
Mm.
You know, do you need my help with anything? Mm. How are you?
Open-ended questions.
Yeah, yeah. So you're letting them know that they can talk to you and that you won't judge whatever it is they say to you when they're talking to you. And generally, that is when people find the confidence to make a move that will be healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been in the situation, I can think of a couple of people actually come to mind, where I've been thanked for not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess, as you said, the burden of all these people giving their opinions must make them feel worse about themselves.
It can. And I really know that that's not the intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're really genuinely trying to help someone and
yes.
say, you know, if I were you now, I'd, you know, I'd go down and get some information from a solicitor or from the guards.
Mm.
And, you know, that's fine. But This the effort to just talk to you might be them spent now for a couple of weeks or a
yes.
couple of months, and
how would you define?
Too scared.
Apologies, Sally, for cutting
across
you. But how would you define abusive then? Because, you know, a lot of people imagine abuse just to be, for instance, physical, but it's also psychological and emotional. And maybe that's an area that we haven't really discussed very much. But maybe, like, what are the signs and symptoms, or that people can recognise even within themselves that they might be in an abusive relationship but may not realise it?
Yeah.
May not have come to that realisation.
That's a very dense question. We probably need a whole other 20 or 30 even minute section for that. But what I will say is that, you know, there are different flavours of abuse. Coercive control is one of them. Physical aggression is one. But, you know, when we think of abusive relationships, we think of domestic violence. We think primarily we think of men assaulting women. But that isn't always what it looks like. It often isn't what it looks like. And it often starts with very small things, like someone, male or female, might be incredibly jealous. You know, it might start off by looking insecure and it turns into jealousy, which turns into control. But it can happen so gradually that, you know, you're swept away. You think, oh, my God, this person adores me and they're so romantic. I've never been so loved. And then suddenly you find you're afraid to tell them if you're meeting the girls or the guys, or you're hiding messages. Or you've noticed that someone's reading your messages, or you feel guilty when you know you've actually done nothing wrong, or you feel scared. And if we feel scared of our partner or our sibling or our friend, there's something wrong, you know. But that, it can sneak up very, very quickly.
Mm.
So, like, a lot of people, their first sign that they're in an abusive relationship is when they notice that they want to withhold information from the person, because they're scared of the person's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And fear and shame are the two things that abusers use to control their victims. And again, you might notice that you're afraid or ashamed until maybe one particular incident happens. And you go, oh. Mm. And even then you mightn't. You might think, well, you know, surely this happens in every relationship, because you will have been told by your abuser that it happens in every relationship.
Mm.
You know, so people will say, look, you know, I'm just jealous. Everyone's jealous. It's just a sign that I love you. So that's something, it's just an example, but that's something that can happen a lot. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm. So that's the emotional and psychological.
Mm.
And this, it actually came up during the week. Somebody mentioned or asked me about the concept of gaslighting, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It probably came up on the radio, I think, in Ryan Tubridy's show, actually. And I was with somebody and they said, what's gaslighting? And so I was trying to explain. But maybe you can you remember what gaslighting is?
Yep. Yeah. So gaslighting is a particular form of psychological abuse where the abuser will try to convince you that you made something up or that something didn't happen. So you might say, let's say you catch your partner going through your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring it up. maybe an hour or a day or a week later and you say, you know, you were going through my phone, I saw you, and they'll say, no, I wasn't.
Okay. So it's like your imagination.
Yeah, you're imagining that. No, no, sure, I asked you if I could look at your phone. Do you remember I asked you for the phone so that I could check Netflix or whatever? That's what happened. How could you forget that? You're so distracted. You're so unfocused. This is typical of you now, getting things wrong.
Mm.
And that they'll turn it around that way. So that's gaslighting. You know, it comes from that film.
Was it a Hitchcock film?
It was, where this
like a
guy
psycho.
Yeah, he was adjusting the light, the gas light. He was adjusting the gas in the light, and so she was saying, the light's flickering, something wrong with the light, and he was like, no, it isn't, it's fine.
Okay. So he was trying to make her feel like she was going mad.
And that is the effect, like people do. They do feel like they're going mad because they feel like they're, you know, imagining things, and they begin to believe their abuser's version of reality, which is that they're crazy, they're faulty, they're misremembering things. Or a very popular, forgive me for using that word, but a popular way of abusing someone is by saying, you know, you're just oversensitive.
Mm. You know, dismissing a person.
You feel things too deeply. You know, you're so sensitive. Oh my God, no one else would mind. That kind of thing.
Okay, so always, basically, the bottom line is they're pushing it back on the individual.
Yes.
Like it's their fault.
Yes.
Nothing to do with them. So they're deflecting responsibility.
Right, yes. And more than that, it's not just, they're not simply not taking responsibility, but they're giving it to you and you're a bit weird as well. So it's that plus the judgment of, yeah, there's something off about you. You know, you have the problem in this relationship. I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's the problem besides with you. I find it, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, and I think that was the context of the discussion on the radio during the week as well, yeah, which was very interesting. And I think we're actually almost at the end, unfortunately, Sally. But if anybody is affected by this discussion, where should they go to? And you did mention you have an article along these lines in the East Cork Journal this week.
Yeah, I just did a little piece because I was so kind of affected actually by that Twitter thread, possibly because I read it so early in the morning, but it just, you know, it affected me.
Yeah.
So I wrote about it. But who do you contact? You contact Women's Aid are the best resource organisation for anyone who's in a situation that feels abusive.
Okay.
And they will be able to direct you then to local services, or they'll give you some advice on what to do, and they'll also give you advice, I hope I'm right when I say this, but they'll direct you to any legal services that you might want to access as well.
Very
so you
good.
Can my sense of them is that you can use them as a one-stop shop kind of a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's always the Samaritans, and I guess, you know, I suppose any St. Vincent de Paul or whatever may be able to direct people as well if they...
They may.
They may,
mm-hmm.
if not Samaritans. Okay. Well, thank you so much again. It was really interesting because, like I said, that discussion had been come up during the week, and it's nice how you shed yet another bit of light on these issues that impact mostly on women. But as you said, there are men out there too that are possibly being abused as well.
Oh, definitely being abused
to,
as well, yeah.
Okay,
unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately.